السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أحسن الله إليكم.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. آمين وإياكم. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by أمير المؤمنين في الحديث الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. We'll continue from باب عقوبة عقوق الوالدين. باب عقوبة عقوق الوالدين. The chapter about the evil repercussions of being undutiful to parents. The evil repercussions of being undutiful to parents. If we look at our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, from the very beginning, Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned verses of the Quran that emphasize the importance of being dutiful to parents and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be dutiful, to be kind, to be compassionate with our parents. And usually I'll always add, وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا, even if these parents could become unjust to the child still has the duty to be dutiful to them. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُشْرِكَيْ, even if these two parents become or happen to be from among the people who are not Muslims, holy place, the child still has a duty to be nice to them, fit dunya, like the Quran says. It says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You should be nice to them in the matters of this dunya. All of these go to make us understand that we have a direct command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obey our parents, to be dutiful to our parents, to be compassionate with our parents. And we have a prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against being undutiful, being unkind to parents. The simple fact that not being dutiful and being undutiful, unkind, being nonchalant, the fact that it forms an act of disobedience to Allah is sufficient as an evil repercussion. The fact that when a person is undutiful to the parents, he is disobeying Allah, that itself is a sufficient repercussion. When they say, what does the person stand to lose when he is undutiful to parents? And the person is answered that, undutifulness is disobedience to Allah. It's sufficient repercussion. It's sufficient evils. Because the consequences of disobedience to Allah are clear to us. The person becomes distanced from Allah's mercy, unless Allah forgives him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person makes tawbah. So unfortunately, we had also read some of the ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly calls the one who causes and abuses the parents. But that is just one of the ways of being undutiful to parents. So, but in this chapter, there's a clear-cut direct mention of the repercussion that the person who is unkind, who is not dutiful to parents, will suffer, unfortunately for that person, in this world and then in the hereafter. So this hadith is so important because it clearly and directly mentions evil repercussion for the person who is unkind and undutiful to his or her parents. May Allah protect us from this evil. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has given this bab specially to mention this evil repercussion of being undutiful. So he placed it under the chapter Babu Okubati Okukil Walide, the chapter about the evil repercussions of being undutiful to parents. And that takes us to hadith number 29 in our book, الأدب المفرد من وجه الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله. حدثنا عبد الله بن يزيد قال حدثنا عيينة ابن عبد الرحمن عن أبيه عن أبي بكر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ما من ذنب أجدر أن يؤجل لصاحبه العقوبة مع ما يدخر له من البغي وقطيعة الرحم وقطيعة الرحم. Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min zambin ajdaru an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uquba ma'ama yuddakaru lahu min al-baghi wa qati'ati rahim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Yazid Mawla Ali Umar rahimahullah. Qala haddathana Uyayna ibn Abd al-Rahman. This hadith was reported by Abdullah ibn Yazid from his Shaykh Uyayna ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Ghadfani an Abihi. Uyayna ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Ghadfani is reporting it from his father Abd al-Rahman ibn Jawshan al-Ghadfani. The father of Uyayna ibn Abd al-Rahman is Abd al-Rahman ibn Jawshan al-Ghadfani rahimahullah. He is a tabi'i of this hadith, Abd al-Rahman ibn Jawshan al-Ghadfani rahimahullah. He is a tabi'i of this hadith, and he is reporting it from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr. In the last hadith we read from the hadith of Abu Bakr, we mentioned the virtue of Abu Bakr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Abu Bakr with over 40 sons. Abu Bakr had about 40 sons, and the A'imma said, كلهم ممتازون في الشجاعة والبلاغة والكرم. The entirety of these 40 sons that Allah gave to Abu Bakr, they were all excellent in terms of الشجاعة. They were bold people. They were very brave people. والبلاغة, they were very eloquent people. والكرم, they are also from the people of benevolence. All 40 children of Abu Bakr. We recognize that Allah gives a man 40 sons. He's not talked about his daughters. And all of them, Allah blesses them to be from this category of people. It blesses itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is the hadith of Abu Bakr, Nufay ibn al-Harith. Nufay ibn al-Harith, radiallahu anhu, reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that ma min zambin ajdaru an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uquba ma'ama yuddakaru lahu min al-baghi wa qati'ati ar-rahim. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, ma min zambin, there is not any sin, there is not any act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَجْدَرُ أَنْ يُعَجَّلَ لِصَاحِبِهِ الْعُقُوبَةِ, that is more deserving. No sin more deserves that, أَنْ يُعَجَّلَ لِصَاحِبِهِ الْعُقُوبَةِ, that the person who commits that sin has the punishment waiting for him. مَا مِنْ ذَنْبٍ أَجْدَرُ أَنْ يُعَجَّلَ لِصَاحِبِهِ العقوبة. There is no sin أجدروا أن يؤجل لصاحبه, that is more deserving that the person committing that sin يؤجل, that he has the punishment hastened, quickened. ما أما يدخر له, apart from what is preserved for him of the punishment. So the person has two kinds of evil repercussions he is going to suffer. The repercussion he will suffer in a short while, and the repercussions that he will suffer in a long while. But this repercussion that will be almost immediate he has that it is brought to him immediately. There is no sin that is more deserving that the punishment be quickened for those who have committed that sin, like al-baghyu is aggression. When someone aggresses against the rest of people, he either dispossesses them of their wealth unlawfully, or he oppresses them, or he thinks like this, al-baghyu. Like al-baghyu, so meaning that when someone is involved in al-baghyu, he has two kinds of things. The sin that is quickened, he deserves that. The fact that he's an aggressor makes him become deserving that the punishment be brought quickly to him. Meaning that aggressors don't stay for too long before the punishment of their aggression is brought. May Allah protect us. Aggressors, they don't stay for too long before the punishment for their aggression is brought to them. In this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, inshallah, because at this moment we are talking about the Uluwalide and the matters related to being kind to parents and the matters that are regarding it. Otherwise, by the time we get to issues about aggression, the prohibition of aggression, the prohibition of oppressing the rest of the people, we will still come back to an asar by Abdullah ibn Abbas, in which he said, radiallahu anhumah, that لَوْ بَغَى جَبَلٌ عَلَى جَبَلٍ, if it were possible that a mountain aggresses against another mountain, لَدُكَ الْبَغِي, the mountain, as big as it could be, if it becomes aggressive against another mountain, if that were possible, the bigger mountain would be destroyed, to be pulverized. This makes us understand the evil in aggression. So from the evil of being an oppressor, from the evil of being a zalim, someone who denies the people of their rights that is due to them, these kinds of people, Allah quickens the punishment for their aggressions. May Allah protect all of us. The second group of people who have the punishment for their sins quickened for them, apart from what is waiting for them on the day of Qiyamah, is what Qati'at al-Rahmi, the sin of disconnecting the ties of kinship. The sin of disconnecting the ties of kinship. And the first person in this category of kinship whose ties must be connected and properly maintained, they are the fathers to us and the mothers to us, our parents. So our parents form the first, when we say connect family ties, the first group of persons that we talk about, al-abab al-awlawiyya, from the aspects of being foremost and most deserving in the category of those who refer to as near kindred, they are our parents. Our parents are the first set of people we talk about when we talk about silatul rahim. But here, this hadith is not employed regarding connecting family ties, perhaps regarding other members of the family. We have mentioned this hadith here because we are interested in those who make the first list of the family ties. That is our father and that is our mother. The being undutiful to parents quickens the punishment of Allah on that thing. So if you are an individual who is nonchalant regarding your parents, if you are an individual that's so puffed up by the degrees and the university certificates that you have acquired, if you are an individual that's so puffed up with the level of the Quran that you have memorized and how much of perfection you have attained in Arabic, so much that you think that your parents do not matter to you, you should be sure that Allah's punishment is near to you. You should be sure that when you begin to find irregularities in your life, because Allah will distance you from His mercy, you should be sure that you have caused it yet. How many times would I just think that it is necessary to connect this thing to something that disturbs a lot of people? How many a time would an individual find that his work is not stable? He was working, his life was stable, he was doing well at work, he was doing well in his deen, he was doing well in his family, his wife, everybody, his children were okay with him. And then events just turned. Have people been thinking that they are disconnecting themselves from other members of the family, and especially their mothers and their fathers? Have they thought that it can be a reason for all of these goodies that they have enjoyed to turn against them and become things from which they turn their heads, shake their heads in regret and in pain? Have people thought like that? Because I know a number of persons who have these problems. And as an individual, I've been able to trace it that the reason why they have these problems is that they have kept very bad relationship with their parents. Keeping very bad relationship with the parents is from the things that ajdaru an yu'ajjila li sahibihi al-uquba. It is from the things that the person who commits it, who is undutiful to the parents, he quickly begins to feel the affairs of this dunya to be tough against him. Unfortunately, when they go and visit sorcerers, those people who visit sorcerers amongst the people, the sorcerer has one truth with him, the best of them, and there is no one that is good. But the most sensible you can think of amongst them, he has one lie with 99, he has one truth with about 100 lies. He has one truth with about 100 lies. From the thing that is nearer the truth is that he will say to him that the reason for your backwardness in your life is your mother. So he begins to think that the mother is a sorcerer and a magician. The mother is a fortune teller. No, it's your mother, because you have been undutiful to your mother. We are just trying to explain that single truth from the 100 lies from the fortune teller. Who tells you that your mother is the source of your problem? Who tells you that your father is the source of your problem? Your mother and father could be the source of your problem if you have not been dutiful to them. You see now, that is from the one truth. Otherwise, the bulk of the 100 of the things that you hear from your fortune teller are lies. May Allah protect us from evil, because visiting fortune tellers itself is from the aspects of shirk. It can actually expel the individual from the fold of Islam. And we know that people are guilty about this. Unfortunately, when they are guilty about that, they also now direct enmity to their parents after visiting the fortune teller. If it is true that your dealings with your parents or your parents have anything to do with your backwardness in life, you should know that it is a result, an evil repercussion of your being undutiful to your parents. From the things for which punishment in this dunya is hastened for an individual is that he is undutiful to his parents. From amongst the means by which punishment in this dunya, by which difficulty in this dunya is quickly brought to an individual, by which reversal of success, if you call it, because the individual becomes reversed in every good thing that he finds. Why? He was undutiful to his parents. He was undutiful to his mother. He was undutiful to his father. And then his affairs becomes very difficult for him. May Allah protect all of us. He becomes distanced from Allah's mercy. Unfortunately, he had thought that his certificate, he had thought that his office, he had thought that his wealth will protect him. But these things are the very first things that Allah will withdraw from him. He will have the certificate, but they will have no value. He will have the wealth, but it will be a means of a problem and a trouble to him. To so much that he will even wish that he had not gotten it. And he will not understand that the reason for all of these misfortunes, so to speak, that come to him is from the results of being undutiful to his parents or disconnecting family ties. How many times have we heard that when a man is successful and then he becomes undutiful to his parents, he has reversal of affairs. His matters begin to reverse. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Ma min dhanbi." There is no sin ajdaru an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uquba that is most deserving that the one who commits it has his punishment quickened for him. The punishment comes very quick. Apart from what is ma'ama yudakharu lahu, apart from the punishment of the hereafter, what we are talking about now are evil repercussions of being undutiful to parents right in this world. He comes so quickly and very fast against those who do it. May Allah protect us all. Two things we have mentioned. Being a wrongdoer, being an aggressor, being an oppressor. I have done it. Do your what you like. Do your worst. Don't be this kind of an individual who will deny people of their rights, deny people of their due. Say, do what you want. Do what you want. And all of this, your punishment will come so soon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget that you also have punishment waiting for you on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ma min zambin ajdabu an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uqubah ma'ama yuddakharu lahu min al-baghi wa qati'ati ar-rahim. There is no sin ajdaru an yu'ajjala, that is more deserving that an yu'ajjala li sahibihi al-uqubah, that the evil repercussions are quickened against the one who does it. Ma'ama yuddakharu lahu, together with what is already preserved for him, together with what is already stored for him, that he will meet later in the hereafter. No things have their consequences so quickly, like a dog being an aggressor, being a wrongdoer, being an oppressor, وَقَطِيعَةِ الرَّحِيمِ, and then being a person who disconnects family ties. How many of the people have disconnected their family ties, disconnected from their brothers, disconnected from their sisters, disconnected from their parents, unfortunately. May Allah protect us from this evil. I think it will suffice on hadith number 29. We can move on to hadith number 30, in which Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana al-Hasan ibn Bishri, Qala haddathana al-Hakam ibn Abdul Malik, An Qatadata an al-Hasan, An Imran ibn Husayn, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما تقولون في الزنا وشرب الخمر والسرقة قلنا الله ورسوله أعلم قال هن الفواحش وفيهن العقوبة ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر الشرك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فاحتفظ قال والزور. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا الحسن بن بشر. He has reported this hadith from his شيخ الحسن بن بشر. قال حدثنا الحكم بن عبد الملك. حسن بن بشر has reported this hadith from his شيخ الحكم بن عبد الملك عن قتادة. Al-Hakam ibn Abd al-Malik has reported it from one of the greatest scholars of Hadith and a Tabi'i student of the companion Anas ibn Malik, Qatada ibn al-Di'ama al-Sadusi rahimahullah. And he has also reported this Hadith from another Tabi'i, Al-Hasan ibn Abil Hasan rahimahullah, says Anil Hasan, and that is the Imam that is popularly known as Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, and he was reported to have reported this hadith from Imran ibn Husayn radiyallahu anhu. Imran ibn Husayn is one of the learned people, very knowledgeable amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Before we proceed, because now we'll be mentioning the Prophet to have said something, this isnad is an isnad that is weak. This hadith number 30, is a hadith that has a weak isnad. Even if it has parts of it confirmed to be authentic in other ahadith, hadith number 30, this hadith is a weak hadith because it has Al-Hakam ibn Abd al-Malik as a weak reporter. Even though it has, like I said, parts of it, like this area where the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it said that Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbari al-kaba'ir, should I not tell you about the most grievous of the major sins? And it mentioned ash-shirku billah wa 'uququl walidain, وكان متكئا فاحتفظ وقال الزور. If we would remember, we had come across one of the ahadith, specifically hadith number 15. Hadith number 15 has the meaning of the fact that ash-shirk and uququl walidain, being disobedient to parents and unkind towards them, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was reclining and then he stood up and sat up and said wuzur. We had come across a hadith with this meaning in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and that is hadith number 15. So that part of the hadith is confirmed from other authentic hadith to have been a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A part of a hadith may be authentic when the hadith itself is weak, because other ahadith will show that this meaning here, other authentic hadith will show that this point here is right. Like this hadith we have. This hadith with this chain of report is weak. Why? Because Al-Hakam ibn Abdul Malik is a weak reporter of hadith. Al-Hakam ibn Abdul Malik is a weak reporter of hadith. Secondly, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, he has reported this hadith with what the scholars of hadith refer to as Al-An'ana. You will see he said, An Imran ibn Husayn, meaning that from or on the authority of Imran ibn Husayn. If a person says, on the authority of someone or from someone, it does not mean that he has himself heard it directly from him. It is different from saying haddathana, aw sami'tu, aw akhbarana. When you say sami'tu, I heard from so-so-so. When you said haddathana, so-so-so narrated to us. The best of them is sami'tu. I heard him say. And then it is followed by haddathana. So-so-so narrated to us, or akhbarana. Akhbarana, you can interpret it to mean so-and-so narrated to us, or so-and-so informed us, or so-and-so read the hadith to us. This is akhbarana. These are the best expressions to report the hadith. It's because it shows a direct connection between the sheikh that has the hadith and the student that is reporting the hadith from. But when you say an fulan, like Al-Hasan al-Basri is saying here, according to this hadith, that an Imran, an means from Imran. It doesn't necessarily affirm that Al-Hasan al-Basri has said that hadith directly from Imran ibn Husayn. Because if you say from, I heard so-so-so say, is different from so-and-so. From so-and-so could mean he heard it from him. It could also mean that he heard from someone who had heard from him and he has not mentioned that person. Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri is known to do reports like this. He will say an, report a hadith and say an fulan, and he had not heard that hadith. That fulan, that sheikh, like in this case, Imran ibn Husayn is from amongst the teachers of Al-Hasan al-Basri. Al-Hasan al-Basri has actually reported hadith from Imran ibn Husayn. But this particular hadith, it requires to be proven that he heard it from him. Why? Al-Hasan al-Basri is known to say from so-so-so regarding a hadith, even when he himself had not heard it from that person. Even though that person was from amongst his teachers. The act of this among the scholars of hadith is referred to as at-tadlis. And the person who does this kind of a thing is referred to as mudallis. So if you have a history that someone can report from his teacher, the hadith that he has not heard from that teacher. You have a teacher, but on that day you were not in class, for example, when that report was given. You perhaps report it from the rest of the students. But if you report it from the rest of the students and mention, I heard it from so and so, there's no blame. But if you report from the rest of the students and you don't mention who actually from among the students that you have reported that hadith from, you mention the hadith to give an impression as if you yourself heard that hadith from your teacher. This kind of a thing is called at least amongst the scholars of hadith. And it's a defect because The conditions for accepting a hadith is that every reporter must be known. So if we know that you can report a hadith through an intermediary without mentioning that intermediary, we keep you under a check. The scholars will always be waiting for you to say today to be sure that yes, you heard it directly, or akhbarana, to be sure that you heard it from the sheikh's reading, or haddathana, or to be sure that the sheikh actually told you that hadith. When they have not heard this from you, they will say, they put a question mark in that hadith, looking for something else from elsewhere to make us understand that, yes, that intermediary is a reliable reporter. The reason why we put a question mark, the scholars of hadith put a question mark at it, is that we want to know that unnamed intermediary between you and your sheikh. He must be known. If we can't know him, we put a question mark. So that's why they say this hadith has two defects. The first defect is a weakness in the first reporter we mentioned, Al-Hakam ibn Abdul-Malik. And the second defect is this An-Ana, that is referred to as An-Ana of Al-Hasan al-Basri from Imran ibn Hussein. I hope that this brief explanation, down to earth inshallah, will be clear to all of us. So these are the two defects in this hadith. So why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it here? He has reported it here for us to know, like we say, one of the things that has been reported under this chapter. The best of them is the first hadith that we have read. That the individual who is undutiful to parents, you quickly get the punishment in this dunya, apart from the punishment that is preserved for that person, that is reserved for that person. May Allah protect all of us on the day of Qiyamah. If Allah does not forgive that person all this, he has another punishment waiting for him on the day of Qiyamah. Apart from the fact that in this dunya, quickly he begins to see the reverse effect of his undutifulness. That is the best hadith in this chapter that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. But there are other things too that have been said regarding this one. And that is this second hadith that we have read. So this hadith is in itself weak, but it has parts of it that are authentic. The hadith with this chain of report is weak, but it has parts of it that have been proven from other reports to be what? To be authentic. I hope that this is clear regarding this hadith. In it was said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma taquluna fi zina. Ma taquluna fi zina. What would you say regarding adultery or fornication? May Allah protect all of us. Wa shurbil khamri. What would you say about consumption of alcohol? What would you say about somebody being a robber? Stealing, what would you say about stealing? As-sariqa to itself is the act of stealing itself. What would you say about these things? Kulna Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. The companion said, was reported to have said, we said Allah and his messenger know best. Qala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported in this hadith was said, hun al-fawahish. These three things, hun al-fawahish, they are very, very serious. They are very, very grievous things. Hun al-fawahish. A fahisha is a sin that is serious. When they say fahisha, it's not just a sin. It's not just zamb. Fahisha is zamb. Was yada, a zamb, a sin, but that is grievous. When a sin becomes grievous, it is referred to as what? Fahisha. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hunna al-fawahish, wa fihinna al-ruquba. And these sins, they are evil, serious evil repercussions regarding them. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was reported to now ask them, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kaba'ir. From this part on, we know from other ahadith that they are correct and authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kaba'ir. Should I not give you information about the worst of the major sins? We had discussed this hadith under hadith number 15. Should I not tell you the worst of the major sins? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ash-shirku billah. The most beauty of the saint is joining partners with Allah. وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدِ What follows this in terms of gravity is what? عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدِ Disobedience to parents. The reporter said, وَكَانَ مُسْتَكِئًا The prophet was reclining. فَحْتَفَزَ Then he suddenly sat up, alayhi salatu wasalam, and said, وَزُوُّ And giving false testimony. Now, across the country, there are people giving testimonies in panels of inquiry all across. You see people go. Unfortunately, those who will be Muslims among them, some of them will pull the Quran and swear by the Quran that what they are going to say will be the truth and no other than the truth. And unfortunately, they will still say what is wrong. Deliberately, they will still pervert that truth. Deliberately, even after swearing in the open by Allah and by Allah's book, the Quran, that what they will say will be the truth. This kind of an action is referred to as what? As zur. From the aspects of zur is reporting fake news. Fake news. Reporting fake news, transmitting fake news, liking fake news, spreading fake news. All of these fall under the aspect of zur. We all witnessed in a short while ago what fake news and transmitting fake news was going to do to the entirety of our country and our region where we stay. It upturned the peaceful atmosphere that was already threatened. It upturned it for a long time. May Allah protect all of us. From the aspects of Zuhr is to say what is not. You know that it is not true. And yet you transmit the information. That means to say, each of us, when you read something, when you hear something, when you see a video regarding it, if you cannot confirm the truth, keep silent. You should only tell what you have been able to be sure that is correct. And even at that, Islam has prohibited that everybody is saying everything. Islam has prohibited that everybody says everything. Islam has prohibited that everybody says everything. Not everybody is allowed to say everything in Islam. So when you want to say something, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you either say that which is right, something which will bring peace and harmony, or you remain silent. You will not be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are silent, you face your business, and you do what will benefit you. But you'll be held accountable when you say a word, and your life becomes lost as a result of that word that you say. All of these come under that word, Azul. So from the major sins is joining partners with Allah. From the major sins, the worst of the major sins is what? Disconnecting and being disobedient to our parents. And this is the point of reference for this hadith under this chapter heading, that it is prohibited that a Muslim becomes disobedient, becomes unkind, becomes recalcitrant regarding his spirit. And from the first hadith we read, when a person becomes like that, he quickly gets the evil repercussions of his actions right in this dunya. You can imagine a person being unkind, says a haughty, proud, and obscene words to his parents, and he's driving, and a lorry comes and crushes him. You see things like this. Things like this are common. Someone behaves unruly to his parents, and on the spot, something happens. If you want to compile reports about things like this, they are meaning why. That sin that you have committed is a sin that quickly brings punishment. Likewise, I think it's necessary that we say that one too. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, al-Imam al-Bayhaqi in his book, Al-Sunan al-Kubra, has reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that laysa shay'un uti'a Allahu fi a'jal aw a'jala thawaban min silati rahim laysa shay'un uti'a Allahu fi a'jala thawaban min silati rahim laysa shay'un uti'a Allahu fi there is no act of obedience to Allah there is nothing in which an individual is obeying Allah أعجل ثوابا whose good reward is quickly brought to that individual, means silatul rahim, like connecting the family ties. Just like when you commit an evil regarding your parents, regarding your offsprings and siblings, you direct harm to them, you quickly get the evil repercussions. Likewise, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أُقِيَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ, there is nothing in which Allah is obeyed, أَعَجَلَ ثَوَابًا, by for which the good rewards, for which good things that are results of that good deed, you quickly see it, like silatul rahim, like connecting the family ties and being nice to parents. Like we said, the first of those to connect in our family are our parents. So it means when you want to gain goodness, do better in terms of connecting your family ties. Do better in terms of your relationship with your parents. And I know a lot of brothers who, when they desire something, they want something, they deliberately go and be nice and kind to their parents so that Allah hastens that goodness to them. If you want something from the things by which you can make tawassul, and you will quickly get what you want, look for one good thing to do and direct towards your parents. You want something quickly, you want a promotion on your job, you want to understand something in Islam that you have not understood, you want to quickly memorize the Quran, you want an aspect of ibadah that you have been failing regarding it, try to look for something to do regarding your parents for which they will be pleased with you, and then you quickly get the result. Quickly, you get good results for what you want. And I know a lot of people who have done things like this. Well, you have a brother whose post was 60. He was begging Allah, Allah, release my post for one reason or the other. And then he comes, he smiles to his parents, Allah orders that the boat is quickly released. Things like this. Many examples of this. So just like it, if you want Allah to quickly punish you and turn your events, turn your affairs, turn your fortunes, turn your goodness that you see and you enjoy in this dunya quickly to turn it to evil things against you, be disobedient to your parents. And if you want quickly that you get the goodies of this dunya, be nice to your parents and to the rest of your siblings. I think that will suffice regarding this chapter. So if someone asks us, can you tell me one clear-cut evil repercussion of being undutiful to parents? One clear-cut one, direct, the answer will be that you will quickly be getting the evil repercussions of your action. And someone asks you, can you tell me one clear-cut immediate benefit of being nice to my parents? You will be getting goodness immediately. Goodness will come towards you immediately as a reward for your kindness to your parents. Just like evil things will come to you immediately, also as a reward for your dutifulness to your parents. The Almighty Allah protects us. I think we can read the next hadith in the next part. Babu Uka Ilwali. The chapter about the parents weeping. Some parents will look at their children and then they start crying out of sadness and pain. Some parents, some brothers, some sisters, some children will speak evil to their parents, and then the parents start crying. May Allah protect all of us out of the pain that the parents will suffer from these evil statements or evil actions that the child will direct to the parents. They begin to cry. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned this chapter by way of making us understand that no sane Muslim should do that to his parents or her parents. Don't do something to your parents or against your parents that will make them cry. Don't forget all of it, except it has to do with a sin or an act of disobedience to Allah. Because some parents will still cry. Some parents will still cry when they want to compel their children to do something that Allah has prohibited. They will still cry. This is not what we are talking about. We are talking about in other aspects of life. They want something. Or that you speak to them haughtily and then they begin to cry. May Allah protect us. Usually what puffs up people, I tell you this, This is my personal experience. What causes the people to think that they can talk to their parents anyhow, they can say anything to them, is that they think that they have acquired education. They think that they have acquired popularity. They think that they have acquired wealth. They think that they have acquired eminence. They think they have a house. They have big cars. They enjoy luxury. So why should mommy talk to me like that? To you, that you just came from hard way physics emerges from the innocence of a woman. You are her son. You are her daughter. So you don't have any audacity. Nothing should push you to be haughty in your speech or in your actions. May Allah protect our lives. So when a person does this and the parents begin to cry, this is a very, very big thing. And a big thing. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported regarding this a hadith that he collected from his sheikh Musa ibn Ismail. So he said, Haddathana Musa, قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن زياد بن مخراق عن طيسلة طيسلة we know طيسلة we read it his hadith is طيسلة ابن مياس رضي الله عنه أنه سمع ابن عمر يقول بكاء الوالدين من العقوق والكبائر بكاء الوالدين من العقوق والكبائر. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا موسى قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن زياد بن مقراق عن طيسلة بن مياس أنه سمع ابن عمر يقول بكاء الوالدين من العقوق والكبائر. حدثنا موسى we read حديث of موسى كو أبو سلمة التبوذكي موسى بن إسماعيل Rahimahullah. And then he said, Haddathana Hamad ibn Salama. Musa ibn Ismail is reporting this hadith from Al-Imam Hamad ibn Salama. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salama is from amongst those that it is necessary for us to know about them because, one, he has reported a lot of hadith. He has hadith in Bukhari. He has hadith in Muslim. And in other books of Sunan, he has hadith. Al-Imam Hamad ibn Salama has hadith in Bukhari. He has hadith in Muslim. He also has hadith in all other books of hadith. And he was a muqsir, someone who reported a lot of hadith. So it is necessary that we know about him. It's from the A'imma. Secondly, is that it's from the scholars of Islam and from the models of those of us who, bismillah, champion and intend and struggle to be upon the path of the early Muslims. So when you say Salaf al-Salih, these are your Salaf al-Salih. Hamad ibn Salama, Rahimahullah. Hamad ibn Salama, al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, because of his eminence in terms of his knowledge, in terms of his piety, Rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini would say that من تكلم في حماد فاتهموه في الدين من تكلم في حماد whoever begins to criticize حماد ibn Salam فاتهموه في الدين you should begin to suspect are you truly a Muslim for us to understand the personality of this imam are you sure a Muslim why because the personality of this imam is so connected to the religion. When you have a person whose life, the entirety of his life is so connected to the religion, you find that when people want to criticize the religion, those are the kind of people that they criticize. I give you a clear-cut example without apology. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani was in this status in our own times. If you find somebody criticizing Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, you know that that person has a problem with the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, this person has nothing with Al-Imam al-Albani except that Al-Imam al-Albani was someone who stuck to the Sunnah and invited upon the Sunnah. Likewise, the like of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas. These are a'imma. They stood for the religion. They invited unto the religion. So when you find somebody criticizing them, he has a problem with his own religion. These are the first kinds of people who are the a'imma of the Muslims. And one of the teachers of Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, we have also read his hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Hajjaj ibn Minhal. He said, Haddathana Hammad ibn Salama. He said, Hammad ibn Salama was one amongst our teachers. He taught us, وَكَانَ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الدِّينِ, and he is from the a'imma of this religion. He's from amongst the leading scholars in this ummah. Rahimahullah, Hammad ibn Salama, Abu Salama. Hammad ibn Salama, Abu Salama. So if you look for names for your children, name your children Hammad. Don't go on the internet, just search for names here. These are known successful Islam people amongst the early Muslims. One of the teachers of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. Because Hammad ibn Salama, rahimahullah, was a man who was full of knowledge. And he was full of worship. He says, لَوْ كِيلَ لِحَمَّادِ ابْنِ سَلَمَ لَوْ كِيلَ لِحَمَّادِ ابْنِ سَلَمَ. If Hammad ibn Salama was told, إِنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا, you will die tomorrow. مَا قَدِرَ عَنْ يَزِيدَ فِي الْعَمَلِ شَيْئًا. He does not have any ability to increase his duty. If you say, tomorrow you will die, he doesn't have any other duty to do. Why? Because the entirety of his time, Al-Imam Zahabi commented on that and said, كانت أوقاته معمورة بالتعبد والأوراد. كانت أوقاته معمورة بالتعبد والأوراد. Because the entirety of the time of this Imam is connected to التعبد, service to Allah, worship of Allah, والأوراد, and أذكار, a lot of recitation of the Quran. He was a scholar of hadith, he was a scholar of fiqh, he was a scholar of Quran, he was a scholar of Lugha, he was also an abid, rahimahullah, Hammad ibn Salama. I'll encourage us to read about this Imam, rahimahullah. He is the one who has reported this hadith from Ziyad ibn Mikhraq, who reported from Faisala. We know Faisala. Faisala was one of the students of Abdullah ibn Umar after he had repented from being from amongst the Khawarij. Faisala was from amongst the Khawarij, and he repented and became from amongst the companions of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. He was the one who said, reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, that Buka'ul Walide, that parents cry and weep out of sadness from their child, from their child's indecent speech, or from their child's indecent action towards death. Min al-uquf, it's from the aspects of disobedience to parents. Wal kabair, it's also from the aspects of the major sin. So no child, but at any circumstance, should do what will bring the parents to weep out of sadness for what the parents, the child, has done to them. May Allah protect us from this evil. We have not gone into detail regarding this hadith because we had read the hadith. This expression comes under the hadith 8, the hadith of Faisala ibn Umayyad that we had read. When we read it under hadith 8, Al-Imam al-Bukhari was going to cite it regarding lin al-kalam li walidayhi. Babu lin al-kalam, because from the advice of Abdullah ibn Umar in that hadith number 8, to Faisala ibn Umayyad, was that if you visit your parents and you provide them food and you speak to them nicely, you will enter Al-Jannah. This was the basic message in that hadith under hadith 8. But when it is repeated here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari repeated it with a slightly different isnad. That is one of the ways that he does, rahimahullah, with a slightly different isnad. The point of reference he wants us to take here is the issue of ruquq al-walidain. That ruquq, making the parents to weep, is from the aspects of ruquq al-walidain. It's also from the aspects of what? Al-kabair. May Allah protect us and not make us children who will be so unbeautiful to the parents and then they begin to weep. May Allah forgive us all our shortcomings. May Allah make us from amongst those who will rectify their affairs. Bismillah, tomorrow we'll go on to another chapter, Babu Da'watil Walidain. The chapter regarding the significance of the supplications of the parents on the child. How significant is it? And inshallah, under that chapter, we have two very, very important hadiths. One clear-cut straight hadith about the fact that when parents pray for the child, the prayer is quickly answered. And the second hadith, the hadith of Juraij, the very lengthy hadith, something happened with him for which he had to suffer. May Allah protect him. Because of some sort of a misjudgment from him, may Allah forgive all of us. It will make us understand that we need to be very, very careful when we relate with our parents. May Allah forgive us all. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll come to the hadith of Juraij. Read the hadith of Juraij. There are a lot of lessons in the hadith of Juraij. A lot of lessons. We'll come across them tomorrow, inshallah, under the chapter heading Da'watul Walidain. But to stop here for today, bismillah, under hadith number 31. We'll read the next hadith, 32, inshallah, from tomorrow. Abba Yusuf.
Assalamualaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
The first question here, Sheikhana, is what evidence or is it possible for us to swear the Quran in a court or panel of inquiry?
Well, as I mentioned, so falsehood, swearing upon falsehood, or being deceitful in any of the forms that people become deceitful. So one of the things that is common is that people swear the Quran. This is allowed. Some of the scholars like Sheikh Abdullah who will now be live in class. They mentioned that swearing the Quran on your hand is allowed. The Quran itself is from the speech of Allah. And Allah's speech are from the attributes of Allah. The speech of Allah is from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The speech of Allah is from the attributes of Allah. That's why you see that we can seek protection in the speech of Allah. We say, A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi ta'ala. O Allah, I seek refuge in the words of Allah. You seek refuge in Allah's words. That are perfect. You seek refuge in Allah's perfect words. Why? Because they are from His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are a part of Him. So, because of that, and the Quran is from the words of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can swear with the Quran, just like we can swear with other attributes of Allah. I swear with the one in whose hands is my life. The Prophet was describing Allah, the one in whose life the messengers whose hands the messenger's life was. What is Allah to? Likewise, the rest. So we can swear with the attributes of Allah, like His words, like His mightiness, and all of this. And some of the facts, like saying that you swear with the owner of the Kaaba, and all of this. So these are from the aspects of swearing with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the speech of Allah, from the aspects of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Quran itself. So it is lawful, inshallah, and those are the evidences. Allahu Akbar.
Now, jazakallah khairan. Secondly, is that this question is asking that can a child seek financial aid for the parent who is dead to make sadaqat jariyah for them?
This is a common thing that people do now. They begin to beg the people to give them money because they want to do sadaqat jariyah. So I ask people for their wealth, but do you want to make sadaqah jariyah? Make sadaqah jariyah for your parents. Make you yourself one. You are sadaqah jariyah for your parents. Once you remain pious, I think this fact should be recognized. A pious child is in itself a sadaqah jariyah for the parents, as long as you are pious. I've not said that you are praying for your parents. Your parents struggle to be sure that you are a pious person. They struggle to make you know the religion. Most of us, if your parents put you in a madrasa, their intention is that they want you to know the religion and be a pious person. So this is a general thing. Whether they are now able to exactly achieve that or not is something else. But that's their desire. When parents place their children in a madrasa, they want that child to achieve that. That's why, generally speaking, when the parents treat you, encourage you upon religion. They guide you upon religion. You are naturally yourself as long as you act upon the sunnah of that religion. You are a sadaqah to jariyah for them when you are righteous. Your salah they will get reward from. Your hajj they will get reward from. Whether you directly pray for them or not. So when you pray for them, it's an additional sadaqah you are making. Likewise, when you now, as a child, make sadaqah for them, directly, I'm making this one for them. It's also from increased sadaqah. But the act of begging the people bring money so that I can make sadaqah in the area for my mother, it requires to be proved. It requires to be proved. If you want to do that, you have to look for a proof that justifies it. I don't know any such proof that says a child wants to make sadaqah jariyah for his mother and then he has to start begging the rest of the other people, bring money. Does this form under the things for which a Muslim can beg? Because begging, becoming $90. I want to make sadaqah jariyah for my mother or my father. Does it form from among the things that can make one Muslim to beg another Muslim? And I still say from the best things you can do to your parents is to sit down and beg Allah to forgive. From the best things you can do. That you don't need to beg anybody, you don't need to ask anybody for something. This is for you as a child. Be pious and be prayerful to them. Have we not heard from Ahadith that the level of parents will be raised in Al-Jannah, Allah will forgive them and all of this. And they will be asked, oh Allah, how did I achieve? You say, it was I. Well, like you attained all of this from the supplication that your child is supplicating for you. So the best of it. So it does not have to be sadaqah on jariyah. It does not have to be that you have to spend one money to start begging people. No. Don't do that as a child regarding your parents. Do what you are able to do. And the best of what a child can do to benefit the parents is to remain righteous and pray Allah repeatedly and regularly for Allah to forgive. If Allah now enriches you, you now make sadaqah like digging wells, you know, and all of this that we know about. That is an addition. But the basic thing is that you as a child remain pious and then remain prayerful to your parents that Allah should forgive them when they pass. May Allah forgive all of us. From the aspects of being nice to parents when they pass away, that you are nice to the people that your parents were nice to. You are nice to a people that your parents are nice to. If your parents, your daddy, your mommy has a relationship with the people, we attend a feast over the death of the child in Lagos recently. And there was one of the men who came there. He is elderly. He is someone who, even though my daddy was far older than him, they were always in companionship. You see them sit down together, they discuss, they talk, they. So when he came into the venue, I was on the place where you call the high table. I had to stand up to go and greet the person. I stood up to greet him. He told me he had gone there, and he didn't see that I was coming to him. So I came back to sit down. When I came back to sit down, I stood up to go and greet him again. So I asked people who were going to be the right to Aduna standing to go and greet this man. It was no other than that. I know him to be a very good person that my father loved. They discussed, they went together. He sent him to do things for him. If there are issues, he called and said, go and talk to him. So they sit down together and they will discuss. So if I see such a person, I have the duty from the aspects of being kind to my own. To be kind to my father who has passed away is to be kind and show due respect to this person who is alive. This is why we still come back to these kinds of ahadith in this group of Adab al-Mufrad. So these are why, instead of doing all of these people start going to start begging money, please give me money, let me do one. This kind of an action requires proof from those who carry them out. As for me, I don't know any justification for that kind of an action. Allahu A'lam. We can go on for the next 5 minutes, Abu Abdelbar.
Also, Sheikh Aziz Al-Khair.
Yes, okay.
Please, where can we get books? Which can we read to learn about Hammad ibn Salama?
Hammad ibn Salama, one of the best books you can read is Sifat al-Alam al-Nubala.
الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله. You can also look for تاريخ الإسلام by الإمام الذهبي. سير علام النبلاء by الإمام الذهبي. تاريخ الإسلام also by الإمام الذهبي. These two books are also on the next. I have سير علام النبلاء. I have تهذيب الكمال. I have تذكرة الحفاظ. So I'm mentioning this for those who don't have access to the book. But ما لا يدرك كله لا يدرك كله. If you have access to read about Hamad ibn Salam on the net, you wouldn't say, oh, because you don't have a hard copy, and so you wouldn't read about him. You can read about Hamad ibn Salama. If you type Hamad ibn Salama, you will find that he will bring to you Siyar Alam ibn Bala. So read about Hamad ibn Salama from Siyar Alam ibn Bala. You gain a lot of benefit. You can do this for others that we have been talking about. Make sure that you are reading from Siyar Alam ibn Bala or Tarikh al-Islam brought by Al-Imam al-Wahabi rahimahullah. If you want to go a bit more expensive, you can go to Tahdhib al-Kamal bil-Hafiz al-Muzi. But if you want to get more facts about how these people live their lives, and because Tahdhib al-Kamal is a book that's connected to the value of these people in terms of hadith reporting. But if you want to know more about their personal life, a bit away from the hadith reporting issues, it's good you go to Tariq al-Islam and Siyar al-Alam al-Nubala. You can have access to these two books also from the internet. But a better thing for someone learning Islam is to buy these books, have these books with him, read them, be familiar with them and all of this. Our Ummah is an Ummah of books. Unfortunately, today, most of our brothers, we are sufficing with internet downloads and all of this. No, this is not a basic book. This is for a person who has not the means to be able to buy books. Otherwise, buy books, keep the books, read the books, buy them, keep them, read them, have the books. The scholars, one of the scholars said, even Allah has a book. Does Allah have a book on earth? He has his love in Mahfuz. He has a book himself. Is it because Allah will forget, that's why he has a book? No, it goes to show the importance of having books. So have books, keep books, and read books, then practice what you read in the books. So directly to that question, inshallah, you find Siyar al-Alam al-Nubala and Tariq al-Islam, both by Al-Imam al-Zahabi, useful, inshallah. We have 2 minutes, inshallah.
This question I tell us in that, what should be the position of a Muslim to prefer Allah from being insulted, maybe mad and all of that?
The attitude of a Muslim to what?
To the person who has been insulted, maybe over the year and all of that.
This issue has been discussed repeatedly. People like everybody to talk about everything. People like everybody to talk about everything. People want everybody is talking about everything. The scholars have been talking about this issue since it happened in the last few days. Each time it happens, our ulama talk about it. And the thing of respect for us that we should note is that when our scholars discuss, you keep quiet. What you do is that you spread their word. Exactly, there are particular things that require you to say regarding that issue to your people that they may understand or they may not understand. Then you start explaining regarding them. Otherwise, the statements of the scholar suffice. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan spoke. Who else do you want to speak? The bigger scholars have spoken. Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili spoke. Sheikh Saleh al-Husaymi spoke. Our bigger scholars spoke. So what we should do is to spread their words. But many times, one question will be asking, do you think there's one new thing I will tell you now that you've not heard about? Do you think I will tell you it is good that the Prophet was abused? No. No Muslim will say that. No Muslim with any higher power of Islam will say that. We are in the time to be a thing of hurt to us. So why do we go on propagating it ourselves? We propagate it. Our scholars have spoken, we spread what they have spoken and face other things. Because one of the intents of these people is to get us diverted. Unfortunately, we see Muslims who don't pray correctly. Some Muslims don't pray correctly. Yes, you are talking about that old someone abuses. Yes, someone abuses to be better. And the better thing to do is that pay attention to the persona of that person itself. Pay attention to your belief in that person. You. Who are you regarding the Prophet Muhammad? It is the most important thing to you. So who are you regarding the Prophet Muhammad? But we don't want it. So we will never tolerate it. Let it just be that it's not ending there. It should not end there. It should be things that would make us become better Muslims, better followers of the Prophet Muhammad. People who will read more about the biography of the Prophet. You have brothers who read about footballers, athletics, politicians. How many of the people have read and actually studied the life of the Prophet Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm actually want their life to be lived like the life of the Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many parents want their children to lead the life of the Prophet Muhammad? So these are more important things to us. These are very important to us. One thing we must be sure that every person who abuses the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or says anything negative regarding him, he has Allah. Because Allah says, Inna ka fa'idaka mustahti'in. We will support you against those who make jokes at you. You don't get that? Allah is sufficient for the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So but for us, our major duty is following him, alayhi wa sallam. Believing in him, fulfilling his right on us. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here, inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
آمين وأنتم في جزاكم الله خير.